I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Just ahead, retail stores are closing. Companies big and small are laying people off. So what do you do if you get that pink slip? Our money coach will tell us what we need to know about unemployment benefits. And we say goodbye to one of our favorite contributors. But first, setting America's urban agenda. While most of America is focusing on the November presidential election, one group is already looking to January, to the first day of the next administration. That's because the U.S. Conference of Mayors is pressing the new president, whoever he is, to make a new and ambitious commitment to the nation's cities. Here to talk more about this is Manny Diaz. He is the mayor of Miami and the president of the U.S. Conference of Mayors. He's here with us in Washington. Welcome. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
The mayors have presented a comprehensive 10-point plan. We don't have time to talk about all of it. So I'd just like to ask you, what do you think is the biggest challenge facing America's cities today?
Well, I would have to describe that as a general investment from Washington in the work that many cities are already doing. I mean, obviously, it is no secret, as I mentioned yesterday, that our infrastructure system is broke, our transportation system is broke, our educational system is broke. And so what we see occurring in America today is really a falling behind to what other countries are doing. And so mayors are doing what we can. Mayors work 24/7, and we're doing what we can in all of these areas to improve the quality of life of people in our cities. And when you consider the fact that 85% of Americans live in metropolitan areas and that those areas are responsible for 90% of all jobs and income and gross domestic product, then it seems to me that that's where Washington ought to be focusing its efforts, where innovative ideas are being brought forward by mayors and where things are really happening. And mayors get it. We understand that. But unfortunately, particularly over the last few years, we've had little, if no support, really, from Washington.
But one might argue that part of the reason there's been less investment is that there are just significant national security challenges that have to be faced, and only the federal government can do that. What do you say to that?
Well, clearly, although I will tell you that, for example, in the area of national security, after 9/11, a mayor's job description changed dramatically, and now we have to expend funds for those areas that we didn't have to concentrate on before. And we understand that, and obviously that is a role that the federal government plays and not cities, but we have a huge budget, and within that budget there's always, for those of us who, by the way, as cities have to balance our budgets each and every year, we understand that budgeting is a function of where you put your priorities and where you put your dollars. And there's no question that we can do protect our nation, protect our homeland, while at the same time making sure that that people in America are getting a good education, have jobs, live in safe neighborhoods. All those things are equally as important to me.
But the latest estimates are that the federal budget deficit will hit past $500 billion next year. The deficit is going to hit at least $482 billion in the 2009 budget year. And that's going to be the sort of the first budget that either Barack Obama or John McCain will inherit. I mean, is it really realistic to expect the government to make significant investments in the cities, however worthwhile they may be?
Well, we don't have a choice, because it's not just an investment in cities. It's an investment in America. As I said, that is where the American people live. And we're in a new century. And we are competing with other countries in the world. And if we don't make the necessary investments to take us to the next level, then we're doing a huge disservice, not just on cities or metropolitan areas today, but on our children and their children and the future of this country.
One of the things you talked about when you spoke at the National Press Club here in Washington yesterday was crime. Here's a short clip from your speech I want to play.
Today, there are more gang members in America than police officers. On the streets of Miami, an AK-47 is cheaper to buy than a PlayStation. Youth violence accounts for 20% of all violence, and it is the second leading cause of death among our youth. Children are killing children. Is crime a local problem, or is it an American problem?
Traditionally, crime has been viewed as a local problem. You're an attorney, of course, so you know it's subject to state and local prosecution by and large. What are you suggesting that the government should be doing differently, that the federal government should be doing differently? Are you asking the federal government to play more of a role in fighting local crime, and then why?
Well, there are things. I mean, clearly crime is in many respects, a local problem. We have our chief of police, and we arrest people, and we prosecute them at a local level. But if you if you take parts of what I said, for example, the assault weapons ban, which was allowed to expire, and Congress seems to have no appetite to reinstate, that is a dramatic has been a dramatic shift in what is occurring at the local level. Those are tools that we need at a local level to help us in our crime fighting. When I've got 16, 17, 18, 19-year-olds walking around with AK-47s, those are weapons of war. Those are weapons that we have imported from the former communist bloc and from Russia, from surpluses, from silos that were sitting there that no longer had a use for them, and now they're in our streets. Congress needs to act. Congress has to give us the tools locally to be able to get rid of those weapons from the streets of Miami, whether it's that or whether it's helping with the national technology, dealing with DNA, interoperability, so that different forces talk to each other. I mean, those are problems that cross municipal boundaries.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with the mayor of Miami, Manny Diaz, who is also president of the U.S. Conference of Mayors. I wanted to talk a little bit of politics for a minute. You are a registered independent.
Correct.
Ran as an independent in your first election, were reelected 4 years later. Earlier this year, during the presidential primaries, you endorsed Senator Hillary Clinton, a Democrat. But so far, you haven't endorsed anybody. What are you waiting for?
Well, I endorsed Senator Clinton because in the years that I've been involved with this organization and served as mayor, there is no person probably today in America and certainly in Washington who has been more supportive of mayors and the urban agenda, not just by physically showing up to each and every one of our national meetings, but also just in Congress through her efforts and legislation that she has supported and fought for. So to me, that was, quite frankly, a no-brainer. At this point in time, what I'm trying to do is develop this agenda, which I know that she would fully embrace. And what we're looking for is really for one of the candidates, and we've spent time talking to both of them. We presented our 10-point plan already to both of them. I know Senator Obama has endorsed it, by the way. And so really the important thing for me, as I said yesterday, is which of the two candidates is going to endorse our plan, and not just endorse it now, but work with us in those first 100 days to make sure.
But if it's Senator Obama's endorsement, I don't know whether Senator McCain has responded at all. If he's endorsed it, that's not enough?
I have not. At least that I'm aware of, we have not received a response from Senator McCain.
So what else are you waiting for, since he's endorsed your plan?
Well, I'm telling you, we're talking. We've had meetings. There are some things that I have to do with respect to the organization and talk to colleagues in the organization and really wait to hear. It's sometimes not enough to just simply endorse a plan, but really to talk about it, embrace it, feel it in your heart. And that's what we're working through right now.
Talk about feeling something in one's heart. There's been a lot of talk over the course of the primary about the so-called black-brown divide. There was some talk that Latinos will not vote for an African-American candidate. That was certainly not true in Illinois, where Senator Obama enjoyed the support of Latinos in his state and elsewhere. But in Texas and Florida and places like that, you did see some. There was this divide. Do you think that there is? Is that real? Is that just sort of a media invention? What's your take on this?
Yeah, I think the media loves to play up those kinds of things. Some recent polls that I saw actually had the Latino vote in the country overwhelmingly supporting Senator Obama right now. Look, I mean, the reason Senator Clinton did so well in Florida and Texas and other places is because there was a history there. There was a connection there. She had been a part of the Latino community in America. And so people were naturally supportive of someone who had been supportive of them.
You think it was more familiarity, or you think
I think so.
More that her presence?
Sure.
But, you know, it was her pollster, Sergio Bendixson, who worked for Alan Krantz and very distinguished, record in politics, who raised this issue.
He did, but I don't subscribe to to his conclusion.
Yeah. You just think he was wrong?
I think so. I don't think there's a basis for that. And obviously the polling that we're seeing today, which shows that Senator Obama, again, overwhelmingly receiving the support of the Latino community, I think proves that that was an incorrect assumption.
There are some people who, though, believe that there are some sort of racist feelings, though, among some of these groups, perhaps on both sides. Do you think that that's true?
I don't think so. I think at the end of the day, people are going to make the choice of the candidate that they believe. Look, I mean, when you're losing your job, when you're losing your home, when your children are getting a terrible education, when someone down the street from you just got murdered, I think the American people are going to make a decision based on who they think is going to be able to deal with those problems and not the color of their skin or where they, you know, where they come from or what state or any other criteria other than that.
And Mayor, I have to get down and dirty now. last year, your beloved Miami Dolphins finished a miserable 1-15. The season starts in a month. What you got?
Well, we've got Bill Parcells there, who's been trying to shake things up a bit, and I have some confidence in that. They're rebuilding. It's a shame that they got to the point where they got from where they used to be. But, you know, Dallas was at one point 1-15. I mean, we've had great turnarounds. Look what the Celtics did this year in basketball and that turnaround. So we'll turn around. Miami's very resilient. We have our tough moments, but we always come back. We're fighters.
What do you think is the secret? We only have about a minute left. The secret to one of the things that's been noted during your term, and of course there's some controversy about some people question whether Miami's been too much invested in building, but you have seen kind of a renaissance in Miami. What do you think the secret to that has been?
The secret is that for the first time that I can remember, the diversity in Miami was garnered, harnessed into positive change. We have over 60% of our people that are foreign-born that live in Miami. And all here with a strong desire to chase, pursue, live the American dream. And it was just a function of getting everybody together, working for the same cause, which was building a better Miami, and that's what we've done.
Manny Diaz is the mayor of Miami. He's also the president of the U.S. Conference of Mayors. He was kind enough to join us here in our Washington studio. Mr. Mayor, thank you so much for speaking with us, and we hope you'll come back.
Thank you very much. I'd love to.